Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
As we move into the 8 o'clock hour here, it's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI, live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. We got our Christmas tree up here. That's nice. Looking very festive in here. Nice to have you with us here tonight, by the way. This Tuesday, the 25th of November, couple days away from Thanksgiving. A happy early Thanksgiving to everybody out there. We'll do more Thanksgiving stuff tomorrow, as we will be having a full four-hour program tomorrow. Tom King will join the show. Tom King can talk about food for 4 hours and then another 4 hours.
I was going to say, can he talk about the very first Thanksgiving when the pilgrims landed?
He could. He could. He was there. We have our 8 o'clock headlines coming up in just a moment. And there was a story that I was going to put earlier on in the show, but we decided to move it after the Sonny Gray trade. And let's go ahead and lead off with that. Here are your 8 o'clock headlines.
These are the headlines.
Things was looking rough here in Boston. I've been in, I don't know how many times they put me in trade talks for whatever reason. It was always something, you know what I mean? It was other players that, you know, Brad or whoever thought the organization was better fit or they were paying more money, whatever. So I was like, you know, I think it may be time to go. T-Mac was like, stay, bro. And I was like, huh? I'm thinking like T-Mac and Vince, they was like, T-Mac chose to leave in order to go beat T-Mac, who he eventually was. I'm thinking that's what he was going to say. Like, nah, bro, trust me. Whatever you can do, if you can stay, you got an opportunity to win, win. And I was like, damn, I forever took that with me.
Okay, and there you go. Over some old Kanye West beats, that was Jaylen Brown talking about how he was ready to leave Boston, ready to go, and then Tracy McGrady, of all people, swooped in and said, no, Jaylen, don't leave. Stay. You don't want to do that. What was the podcast that this was on? What show was this?
This was his own stream.
Okay, like, this is on Jaylen Brown's own stream. Okay, that's what it was. And Tracy McGrady told him to stay. And I remember when Tracy McGrady, he was young when he was on the Raptors. But him and Vince Carter were cousins. They were on the Raptors together. And this was before max contracts and the way the CBA is set up now and supermaxes and all that stuff. There was max contracts, but they weren't supermax. It wasn't the same kind of, you know, things you had to do in order to get there. You just got paid if they wanted to pay you. And McGrady and Carter, and that team was fun. They had Charles Oakley and, like, Muggsy Bogues was the point guard. Like, they were a fun little team, those Raptors back with T-Mac and Vince. McGrady wasn't the player that he developed into. He was a very good, rangy, young sort of guard. Vince was an instant superstar. That dunk contest, I mean, he right away you could just tell this guy's a star. I don't think a lot of people assume that about McGrady. And McGrady went on to play for the Magic, and he went on to be this, you know, all-NBA superstar and was awesome. I love Tracy McGrady. And I don't know that he would have had that same kind of career if he'd stayed in Toronto and was sort of in the shadow of Vince Carter, or if he would have even developed into the player that he became. But I think it's very interesting that he said, no, don't leave. You got something special there. Stay and play it out. Because there is not a player maybe in the world that was in a situation as similar as this one here with Brown and Tatum and all that. You know, two young wings, explosive playmakers, scorers, guys that were expected, in Vince Carter's case in particular. I mean, he was expected to be a superstar right away. McGrady, I think, was a little bit more of a project or was considered more of a project at the time. No one was surprised to see Carter be a star. I think with McGrady, he opened a lot more eyes maybe. Oh, you don't know Ball Arcan? I don't know. It was a long time ago when McGrady was a rookie. I'm just going back to my old memories reading Slam Magazine about it. Slam Magazine, a basketball magazine, by the way. For those unaware, for the uninitiated, I know it sounds like maybe it's not. Slam Magazine, basketball magazine. Very good basketball magazine, by the way. I still have a subscription to it. It's the one magazine I still subscribe to. I'm not even kidding. I don't subscribe to anything, any other magazine. It used to be Esquire. I let that one run out. But I still have my Slam Magazine subscription. Sick brag, bro. Where was I? Oh, yeah, Tracy McGrady. Thank you, Tracy McGrady. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for talking Jaylen Brown out of leaving. And why is Jaylen Brown discussing this right now? Why is this all of a sudden on Jaylen Brown's mind? I know that he was a little salty the last couple of years about having to make all these sacrifices, which he did, and even despite making them, was still given a Supermax contract as an acknowledgement from the team of, hey, yeah, we understand that we're asking you to sacrifice certain elements of your game, not shoot as much, not score as much, etc. And even with that, we want you here and we want to spend the maximum amount of money it takes to keep you. Which I thought was, you know, what they should have done. That's what they absolutely should have done. They should have bent over backwards to accommodate Jaylen Brown. But they did bend over backwards to accommodate Jaylen Brown. And now here he comes with this story, and it's like, Jaylen, you're averaging 30 points a game this year, right? 28, 29 points a game. Like, he's playing very well. He was awesome in that Orlando game. Now, they lost to the Nets, which is embarrassing. But I haven't really found much fault in the play of Jaylen Brown. You know, like, I feel like he's been pretty consistent. He's going out there giving you 28, 30 points a night and shooting a pretty good percentage. The team overall is not shooting threes quite as well. And I think that that's sort of shown up in some of these games and some of these losses. They shoot their way out of it. Or Michael Porter Jr. goes crazy for 35 points, whatever the hell that was. Him and Igor banging threes from all over the place in that fourth quarter. That was awful last Friday, watching them lose to that team. But then they come back and they have an 80-point half against Orlando, who's pretty good. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard to really get a gauge on this team. It's hard to know what's going on. But one thing that's been consistent is Jaylen Brown. And it kind of bums me out that he's talking about, you know, how things really were going badly and how he was ready to leave and he had to be talked into it. And it's like, okay, and you're here and it's great that you're here. But man, like, it never stops being a topic with him.
You never know.
It really doesn't. And I like Jaylen Brown, and I like the way he's playing, and I think that if he is consistent with this year and the team sort of adapts around him, that you could be looking at a much better season than maybe it started off as. But, you know, it does seem as though there's still maybe a little bit, something still lingering there, and I'm just a little surprised by that, I guess. All right, let's get to our next headline. And that would be your NFL Hall of Fame semifinalists. That list is out, and the list looks like this. Three Patriots on it, all on the defensive and special team side. We'll start there with Rodney Harrison, who I believe should be in. Vince Wilfork, who I think should be in, but I'm less gung-ho about. I didn't realize that he was only an All-Pro once. I think that's kind of a crime. He probably should have gotten at least one more nod there. And Adam Vinatieri, obviously Adam Vinatieri should be in, no question about it. The rest of the defensive players, Luke Kuechly, Robert Mathis, Terrell Suggs, Earl Thomas, Kevin Williams, Darren Woodson. And out of those, I would probably go with Kevin Williams. I forget if he was the good one or Pat Williams, which one of them was. They were both pretty good. But I'm trying to remember which one of them had the better career, got more awards. Five-time All-Pro, okay, yeah, I'd say yes to Kevin Williams. Kuechly, I don't know. I feel like Kuechly missed a lot of time, which isn't necessarily fair to him, but that's sort of where I think with him. Luke Kuechly was a 5-time All-Pro. Now that's Hall of Fame. 5-time All-Pro, that's Hall of Fame to me, or it should be by every account. Robert Mathis is another one, only an All-Pro once. Very, very good player, good for a long time, but I'd say no to him. Terrell Suggs, Pro Bowler a lot of years, won a couple Super Bowls, was Defensive Player of the Year. Only one time was he All-Pro. Iffy, but yes, I'd go yes on Suggs. Earl Thomas, I'm a no. Darren Woodson, he's been on the ballot a while. I would say with him, probably not. Woodson, three-time All-Pro, did win three Super Bowls. He'll probably get in at some point, but I don't know. Three first-team All-Pros in a row, that's pretty good. Yeah, maybe I'm a yes on Woodson, too. Over on the offensive side, a lot of names over here. Willie Anderson, who I'm probably a no on. Drew Brees, never got that MVP, Drew Brees. Did win a Super Bowl. Was a Pro Bowler like every year. I guess you got to say yes to Drew Brees. I don't know if I, you know. Let's see. Lomas Brown, tackle for the Lions. I'd say no on him. Jerry Evans was all pro a lot of years. I'd say yes for him. Frank Gore, all-decade team. Got to go yes for the all-decade team guys. Torrey Holt, same thing. Eli Manning, I'm a no. Rivers, I'm a yes. Steve Smith, I'm a no. Richmond Webb, I don't know. So I guess not. Steve Wisniewski, no. Jason Witten,
no!
No. Fred Taylor. Fred Taylor, let's see. Let's take a look at Fred Taylor a little bit closer here.
Take a guess!
Fred Taylor only made the Pro Bowl once. No on Taylor.
No!
Thank you, Mad Dog. And who am I missing? Oh, Hines Ward. Hines Ward, that's a tough one. No on Hines Ward.
No!
Sorry, Hines Ward. But I am a
you
yes.
You brought up Larry Fitzgerald, right? That's a you. I think. Oh, it should
did
be
I skip
unanimous.
Him? Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald was all decades. So yeah, I'd say probably, but only all pro once.
Yes.
There was a lot of good receivers in Larry Fitzgerald's day. He was a Pro Bowler every single year. All decade team. Only one time all pro, which I think is interesting. But I'm a big hall guy. You know, everybody's so proud of being a small hall guy. I'm a big hall guy. I'd say yes to Larry Fitzgerald. All right, there you go. Let's get to our next headline. All right, for this one, we're going to play you a little bit of sound from Hal Steinbrenner, co-owner, or now just the full owner of the New York Yankees, the Bronx Bombers, also in the poorhouse, evidently. Or do we not have the sound?
I'm assuming you make a profit. Is that fair as well?
No, it's not fair, actually. So
you take a loss?
Don't want to get into it. But that's not a fair statement or an accurate statement. You need to, you know, everybody wants to talk about revenues. They need to talk about our expenses, including the $100 million expense to the city of New York that we have to pay every February 1st, including the COVID year. So it all starts to add up in a hurry. Nobody spends more money, I don't believe, on player development, scouting, performance science. So these all start to add up, John. And, you know, if you want to go look at the revenues, you got to somehow try to figure out the expense side as
okay,
well.
Okay, stop it right there. Hal Steinbrenner. Oh, my goodness. I mean, listen, I'm not that old. I'm 43 years old. But I remember the George Steinbrenner days. I remember him very well. I remember on Seinfeld, Larry David doing the voice. I remember Steinbrenner calling, who was that guy that he called the fat toad? That pitcher, what was his name? Oh, man. I said I remember it. Now I can't remember it. Hideki Arabu. We called Hideki Arabu a fat toad, which was pretty mean. He was a pretty funny guy, George Steinbrenner. Pretty funny guy.
I'm a little upset when they called the New York Yankees or New York an evil empire. Do you?
Mm-hmm. He loved that they were the evil empire. He loved it. He leaned into it. He loved that the Red Sox couldn't beat him. He loved, you know, dangling the loogie over the Red Sox every single year. He was a great villain. Oh, really, he was. George Steinbrenner, he was a great, great sports villain. And they loved him in New York. They loved him.
They don't make him like them anymore.
They really don't. You know, he was one of a kind. And I don't know, I guess that didn't that gene didn't get through to his kids, because what the hell was that, Hal Steinbrenner? First of all, he goes, that's not make a profit. That's not an accurate statement. And the guy goes, so what? So you'd take a loss? Is that what you're saying? He's like, well, I'm not saying that either. It's like, well, what the hell are you saying then, Hal?
I'm assuming you make a profit. Is that fair as well?
No, it's not fair, actually.
It's not fair? All right. So are you operating on a loss? Well, no. All right. Well, then what are you saying? What are you complaining? You complain owning the Yankees is so expensive. Oh, it's so tough. Oh, we're going to be in the poorhouse here. The Steinbrenners, really? You're really worried about that? You baby? Unbelievable. It's unbelievable to hear Steinbrenner speak that way. I honestly never thought I'd see the day. And I knew that they weren't going to run the team the way George did back in the day. Obviously not. George was insane. It did not matter. It didn't matter who it was or how much it cost. George would sign them. And if they didn't play well, he'd embarrass them on television and then trade them away. And if the manager would mouth off to him, he'd fire him and then he'd hire him back. That happened over and over again with all sorts of people. It's wild to me just how far the Steinbrenner name has fallen in terms of running that team and operating that team and what they're willing to do and not willing to do now. Crying poor. Crying about the $100 million they got to pay New York City. Oh, no. Oh, the poor taxes to New York City. That must really, really cripple you there, Hal. I mean, that team prints money. It's very expensive to go to games at that park. And, you know, they don't charge you a little on the concessions there either. It is about as expensive of a ticket as there is. John Henry's going to get ripped to shreds at winter weekend when he starts complaining about how expensive baseball players are. I don't think the Yankees do something like that. Do the Yankees have like a winter meetup where the fans all come to the play and then Hal Steinbrenner walks? I guess that Henry doesn't do it anymore either. But, you know, Aaron Boone and whoever the Yankees, Jared Carabas is, go out and stand up on stage. They have something like that. Because if they do, Hal Steinbrenner is going to get the bleep boot out of him. And he deserves it. That's a preposterous thing for the owner of the Yankees and a Steinbrenner to be saying. Really, it is. Embarrassing, really. If I'm a Yankee fan, I'd be embarrassed by that. And there you go. There's your headlines here at 8 o'clock on this Tuesday. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones. Haven't heard from this guy in a while. David's in Florida. Hi, David.
Hello, Arcan.
Hello, David.
How you been?
I'm great, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Good.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been. Where you been?
So,
where you been, David?
I don't know. Just taking some time off, I guess.
At Flanagan's?
Yeah, at Flanagan's. Yeah, you know it.
It's my guy. What's up?
So, you know, with the Patriots, they just do just enough to win. They do just enough to get by and win. It's not flashy. It's not exciting. They do just they kind of remind me in a way of the 0-1 team. The 0-1 team didn't have any superstars on it, and I mean they were doing just enough to win too that year. I'm not saying they're going to go to the Super Bowl this year, the Patriots, but they do just enough to win. But they've had an easy schedule, like you said, and come playoff time, they're going to have to perform a little better. They're going to have to find ways to get the ball in the end zone from the 1 yard line. I mean, that's ridiculous that they can't do that. That was horrible.
I'm with you, David. Thanks for the call, buddy. Thanks for checking back in. Good to hear from you. Always good to hear from David. He is a Red Sox Review mainstay. And him and Casper and Worcester, Johnny and Brooklyn, all the all the regulars that we get. And Red Sox Review. He's right up there. I've heard other people say this team reminds them of the 0-1 team. I don't know. The 0-1 team, they were bad the year before. That's true. They got off to kind of a lousy start. This big injury threw the whole team into upheaval, and then this rookie came in and played, and he came out of nowhere, and no one expected him to be good. I feel like the expectations for Drake May were way higher now than they ever were for Brady in 2001. No one thought Brady was anything. Nobody did, except for Pete Shepard. Pete Shepard always claims, I knew he was going to be good. Okay, but, you know, other than that, no one really thought so. No one really thought you had anything with Tom Brady. No one thought he would even play, that he would ever even get into a game. Like, he was your backup quarterback, and then all of a sudden he was the savior of the team, and that all happened, and it kind of turned on a dime. I feel like with Drake May, you're talking about a third overall pick, a guy who did have big expectations. There were some people that weren't as convinced that he was going to be good, maybe ever, certainly not right away. And the people who, there's people on the other side of that too, though. I think that was a pretty even split, like 50-50. With Tom Brady, it was whatever percent Pete Shepard was, 0.0000001% thought he'd be awesome, and the other 99.99999% of us all thought, who the hell is Tom Brady? So, you know, that's a little bit different. That being said, the way they're winning, I can kind of see that. Doing enough to win. They have had some blowouts this year. They have had some multi-score games. But lately it seems like they've been squeaking by a little bit more often against
that's not true.
Some of these teams. Kind of. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, We have your New England Nightly News. I know a lot of you are on your way traveling for Thanksgiving. We had a very unusual, wasn't really an announcement, but it was sort of a suggestion from the travel secretary.
A PSA.
We'll get to, I guess a PSA, sort of. And also, we have an update on that skull they found in Southie. That's coming up next, right before, or right after, I should say, Joe Braverman gets you caught up on what's trending.
Boomer Esiason joins the Greg Hill Show Mondays at 8. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Big news of the day coming from the Red Sox. They acquired veteran starting pitcher Sonny Gray from the St. Louis Cardinals for starting pitchers Richard Fitz and number 5 prospect Brandon Clark. The 3-time All-Star Gray was 14-8 with a 4.25 ERA in 32 starts for St. Louis last season. The righty's contract was changed. Gray is now guaranteed $21 million for this season. He has a $10 million mutual option for 2027. Patriots players had the day off today. They'll start prep tomorrow for their home matchup Monday night against the New York Football Giants. Some roster news were made today. Tackle Thayer Munford Jr. was signed to the 53-man roster off of the Browns practice squad. For the Patriots practice squad, guard Bill Murray was signed to that squad. In response, cornerback Alex Austin was placed on injured reserve, and running back Jonathan Ward was released from the practice squad. Some other news around the NFL. Panthers safety Trayvon Morgan was suspended by the league for one game following his low blow on 49ers receiver Juwan Jennings following last night's conclusion of Monday Night Football. And the Bills are signing veteran wide receiver Brandon Cooks days after the Saints released him. The Celtics and Bruins will both return to action tomorrow. The Bees wrap up their road trip against the Islanders. And the Seas host the red-hot Detroit Pistons, who are riding a 13-game winning streak. And UMass football fell to 0-12 in their season finale, losing to Bowling Green 45-14, the final score. They end 0-12 and an 0-7 conference record. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell fuel rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Getting close to 8:30 here. It's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. Real quick, texter in the 617 saying, Arcan, you got to educate yourself a little on Earl Thomas. Why the hard no? I think he's a lock. I glazed over the maybe unfortunate word for him. Page for him, all-decade team, Earl Thomas is in. I saw the three all-pros and the seven-time Pro Bowl, and that's, you know, fine. But I did not catch the all-2010s team. If you're all-decade, that's Hall of Fame.
Yes!
That should be a lock, I think. So thank you for pointing that out to me. I agree. Another texter says, the Yankees don't pay $100 million in taxes. It's actually a payment plan on the bonds the city issued for the new stadium in lieu of property taxes called the pilot program. In essence, Hal Steinbrenner's crying about paying for his shiny new stadium, signed Jack and Quincy. That makes it even worse. I didn't realize that's exactly what he meant with that $100 million thing, but like, yeah, okay, so you had to pay for your stadium, Hal. Like, right. That's right. You had a very old stadium. You could have done what the Red Sox did and renovated it to death instead. You knocked it down and you built a new one right next to it. That's what happens. You have to pay for that.
And not to mention the double down later on. We didn't get to the part, but he says like it would be ideal for his payroll to come down.
Right. Sure. I'm sure it would. I'm sure that would be ideal. Again, George Steinbrenner. I mean, that's just incredible to hear from the mouth of a Steinbrenner. Really want to get that payroll down. I mean, really? Just sad. All right, well, let's move on from that and get to our New England Nightly News.
New England Nightly News.
All right, the first part of New England Nightly News tonight doesn't even have to do so much with anything in New England except for the fact that a lot of people are going to be flying or have already left town. College students obviously coming back for Thanksgiving week. People traveling today, tomorrow, Thursday. Some people travel day of. It's a very, very busy travel day. And because of that, there have been some advisories, including one that I could not believe. I just really couldn't believe what I was hearing and seeing. I saw this on the internet. I was thinking about having it be clickbait, but instead I decided it's too important to just relegate to the end of the show. This is the type of thing I have to complain about right now. Sean Duffy, who I don't know a lot about. I know that he is the Secretary of Transportation, and I don't know much else about him. I really don't. I'm not going to pretend like I know anything about him other than that. That's his job. And when the government was shut down and the air traffic controllers weren't getting paid and all that and all the flights were getting all bleeped up, you saw him on TV here and there. For some reason, Duffy was talking about travel for Thanksgiving and decided to venture into what may or may not be okay to wear to the airport.
Some of you might have noticed that we've launched a civility campaign. And I think it's important as we travel.
Stop it right there. Just real quick. A civility campaign for people traveling, I think on its face, is a great idea. It's a great idea. It's sort of a social contract type of thing, right? Like, civility is sort of in the eyes of the beholder, isn't it? You know, what's civil to someone may not be to somebody else. But I do think that we should all strive to be a little bit more civil to each other when we're traveling, when we're flying around, you know? Maybe just the little things that become, that you look at, there's a lot of security at the airport, you know, things that maybe in the past weren't quite a big deal. They're trying to improve civility. I don't think that's a bad thing. What do you mean by improving civility there, Secretary Duffy?
And I think it's important as we travel, that we think about not just ourselves, not just our families, but we think about those who are around us. And we
okay, hey, listen, that's great. That is, I agree with you. You're traveling with your family. You got to be aware of them and, you know, protective of them, but also you want to be respectful and polite and just, you know, civil to everyone else that you have to travel with on the plane, off the plane, in the terminal, on the shuttle to get to the airport, whatever it is, however it is that you're getting to where you need to go. It is important to be kind to each other. I agree.
And we call our better angels in a busy time. And again, the airports are going to be packed. TSA lines may be a little longer. And as you might not be able to find a seat as you're by your gate because of the number of flights that are going out or coming in.
Okay, you're losing us a little bit here, Sean. Let's get back to the civility stuff. Let's get back to, we know it's tough around Thanksgiving. We know it's not been great at the airports lately. You're starting to lose the crowd. Let's get them back.
But I think we have to think about how do we do a better job? How do we, you know, maintain maybe some of that frustration we have as we travel this Thanksgiving season?
Yeah. How do we do that? Keep going.
Maybe we should say please and thank you to our pilots and to our flight attendants. I think, again, I call this just maybe dressing with some respect. You know, whether it's a pair of jeans and a decent shirt, I would encourage people to maybe dress a little better, which encourages us to maybe behave all a little better. Let's try not to wear slippers and pajamas as we come to the airport.
Stop it right there. I don't want to hear another word out of this guy's mouth ever again. Excuse me? I'm all for being civil. I'm all for being nice. I'm even all for saying please and thank you to the pilots and the flight attendants. But now you're going to tell me what I can wear to the airport? Now you're going to tell me what we're wearing to the airport? I got to wear jeans on the plane? Jeans on the plane? What? Why would I wear jeans on a plane? What are you talking about? I can't wear my sweatpants on the plane now? Because that's what? That's not respectful to the people around me? I'll tell you what. It is respectful to the people around me. You know why? Because if I'm wearing comfortable clothes, I am going to fall asleep immediately. I'm not going to bother anyone. No one's going to bother me. I'll be asleep, but I'm not going to fall asleep if I'm wearing jeans. Jeans on a plane? That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. Unless you have to be somewhere the second you get off the plane and you have to be wearing jeans when you go there, there is no reason to wear jeans on a plane, ever. That is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life. And I'm sorry, I don't understand these people. I don't. They want government to be very, very small, but they also want to tell you what you can wear on the plane. You're telling me what to wear on the plane? Come on. I am going to wear pajamas on the plane. You worry about the flight controllers, and you worry about the air traffic controllers, and all the people working in the airport and the TSA and everybody else. You worry about that. I'll worry about what I'm going to wear to the airport, Duffy, okay? That's absurd, Duff man. Jeans and a nice shirt. Why would I wear that on a plane? Who am I trying to impress on the plane? That's ridiculous. Be polite, sure. I can be polite and still wear my pajamas. I can be polite and still wear my sweatpants. Slippers, I guess that's a little bit more of a gray area. You're wearing slippers, there's a chance you might have the dogs barking, right? Cover the feet. Wear actual shoes. Unless it's like, you know, in the summer you're wearing flip-flops, but at least make sure that you showered that day. You got the dogs out, you at least have to have cleaned them. I'm a little less, I can't lie. I've worn my flops on the plane before. That's happened before, but it's usually only when I'm going somewhere that's hot, you know, you want to get off the plane and not have your dogs all sweating there, going down to Florida or something like that, you know, whatever. But are you serious with this? Are you serious with this? The fact that he's even suggesting that is, I find, offensive. And I thought he was doing a good job. I thought all that other stuff he was talking about was perfectly fine. Be nice to each other. Please and thank you to the flight attendant is maybe a little bit much, like you're telling us what to say, but okay, fine. That's like a lesson I can teach, I can tell my kid at least. Say please, say thank you when the person does something before you. You know, it's just a nice thing to do. Nice, polite thing to do. You got to wear nice clothes on the plane. Now, I've heard people say that back in like the 60s, people dressed up like to the nines before they flew on a plane. It was like a status thing. You know, they were wearing three-piece suits, and they had like hats on. Everybody wore hats back then. You know, everybody was real dressed up to go fly. And then that was if you're like flying, you know. There was that one, I've heard about this. I was obviously not alive for it, I don't think. I never flew on it. But there was basically like an air taxi that used to go back and forth from New York to Boston. And you'd buy a ticket, and you'd wait on the platform, and then you'd go and just get on the plane. Like you were waiting for the bus. You know what I mean? There's no TSA. There's no security. There was nothing. You paid like $8. You stood there. You waited. The plane showed up. You got on the plane. You went to New York. That's how it went. It was very, very easy, very sort of loose with the whole security. No one was taking their shoes off. No one was taking off their belts. You don't have to put your iPad on the conveyor belt. Nothing like that. You just walked right up to the platform. That's how it used to be. But we don't live in those days anymore. We live in a new day where flying is very stressful. And every time you fly, there's a chance that you're going to get molested. They are going to molest you in front of your family and a bunch of strangers. They're going to do it with that little backwards hand thing that they do. It's happened to me many, many times. And if I'm going to a place where I know there's like a 65% chance I'm getting molested, I would like to wear comfortable clothes. Thank you. Okay? Is that too much to ask? You're going to get all tough with the TSA and the security and all that stuff? Give me a break. And if you want to dress up and, you know, wear nice clothes to the airport, absolutely, by all means, go ahead and do that. If that's how you feel about air travel, if you feel like it's an important thing and you want to look good and you want to dress up or you got some reason to dress up, you got a big business meeting you're flying to, you got to go straight there from the airport, fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm not saying there's never a reason to. But don't tell me how to dress. Don't tell me how to dress when I'm flying. Do not do that.
So what is your ideal outfit then if you were to take a long flight?
Sweats. That's
just sweats and like a sweatshirt, t-shirt.
Do I stutter? Sweats. Sweats.
Okay, so a full-fledged sweatsuit.
Do I have to say it three times? Yes, sweats. That's what I like. Sweats. I like the word sweats. And if I'm going somewhere warm, it's in the summer or whatever, I have sweat shorts. I wear those and a t-shirt. But, you know, that's what I wear. It's comfortable. I'm sitting on a plane for a long time. I'd like to be comfortable. I'm probably going to fall asleep. I like to be comfortable when I'm falling asleep. And I'm not comfortable in jeans and like a button-up shirt, whatever the hell Duffy's talking about there. No way. And I'm insulted that they would even suggest what we should and should not wear to the airport. I understand not letting people wear shirts that say bad things on them. Fine. You know, or like porno shirt or whatever. If they're all those porno shirts out there, you know, shirts with bad words on them. Okay, you want to ban that? Fine. Don't ban my sweats. Don't take away my sweats. Hashtag hands off my sweats. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Steve is in Centerville. Go ahead, Steve. Steve?
Yeah, man. Hey, I just wanted to let you know, mm-hmm. I think you're spot on with your critique.
Thank you, Steve.
You know, the other thing to consider is I've been flying for a number of years. The planes are getting tighter and tighter. They're just jamming us in. So, you know, you want to make us be civil and pack us in like sardines? Well, you know what? Why don't you put some more regulation on and give us a little bit more space, man? You know, I mean, if you jam people in like sardines, guess mm-hmm. what? You're going to act like angry sardines occasionally.
Yeah.
So I think you're spot on, man.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Again, I don't know anything about that guy, Duffy. I don't know anything about him, and I thought that three quarters of what he said was perfectly fine. We all got to do this together. One half of the New England Nightly News. There's another little part here that I wanted to talk about as well, and that is the South Boston Skull. You probably heard Hillman talking about this yesterday. His mind went exactly where my mind went right away. A skull in Southie? Who could have put that there? Turns out, skull's not real. Turns out it's a fake skull. It was discovered by a group of workers in South Boston. Turned out it's fake. It was a skull. It appeared to be encased in concrete at Black Falcon Terminal. It was examined by a forensic anthropologist. The DA's office said at the time no other information would be made available until it could be determined that the skull was actual human remains or not. Today, the office issued an update saying the skull was fake and not human remains.
Relax, bro.
Additional details, including how the fake skull got inside the concrete, remain unclear. I think I'd like to know that story. I would like to know how a fake skull was mixed in with concrete. I know how a real one would be. I think we all sort of know that. If you were in Boston in the 70s and 80s, then you probably have a pretty good idea of maybe how that happened. But it's a fake human skull, like the kind you had in your science class, you know, with that body just standing there. Yeah, not real. So sorry, everybody. I know we were all really hoping it would be a real guy, but it's just a fake skull. And there you go. That is the New England Nightly News here on this Tuesday in the Commonwealth. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The only team I haven't talked about yet is the Bruins, and the Bruins have the number one goal scorer in the NHL right now. We'll talk about Morgan Geeky.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Right after this.
Pastrnak grabs it. Pastrnak, Geeky, shoots, he scores! Morgan Geeky ripped one from the right circle. He blew it by Darcy Kuemper, who has something to say to the Bruins bench. The Bruins victorious in overtime. Morgan Geeky with both tonight here in Los Angeles.
Christian Arcand Show, WEEI. Can't ignore what's happening here with this kid. Morgan Geeky has been awesome. He's on pace for 58 goals. He's tied with Nathan MacKinnon for the NHL lead, and he had two, including that overtime game winner there on Darcy Kuemper, the extremely sandy Darcy Kuemper, who was just in a, he was on that whole game, trying to trip people. Just the overall sandy guy. And Morgan Geeky has been fantastic. Really, a guy who his emergence has got him in some conversations. People talking about Team Canada with him now for the 2026 Olympics. He's absolutely devastating with that slap shot. I was reading today, he had a slap shot against the 103 miles an hour. The fastest shot in the league this season. 11 of his 17 goals, I'm reading from Connor Ryan in the Globe right now, have come from mid-range or long range, both of which rank in the 99th percentile. Considering what happened with the Bruins last year, considering how the roster was, you know, detonated basically, and the rebuild was very, I don't know, very obvious, very deliberate. It's not like they were trying to hide behind, you know, they were, this is what's happening. We're trading all these guys. We're moving on. We're getting younger players. We're getting draft picks, and we're going to try and start over and rebuild around our cornerstones. Our cornerstones being David Pastrnak, Charlie McAvoy, Jeremy Swayman, and some people said Geeky last year. Some people were like, well, Geeky's still here, right? If he's still here, then they're obviously they like him, and they're going to assume that, you know, he'll be able to continue producing. And a lot of people thought that maybe last year for Geeky was a bit of a fluke. Well, so far, it doesn't look like it was that at all. So far, it looks like it was a step towards what we are seeing right now with him this year. And I don't know if he's going to keep up this pace all year and end up with, you know, close to 60 goals. I'd be surprised if he was able to do that. But again, I've been surprised so far by him this year anyway. He's been tremendous. And he's a big part of the reason why the Bruins, despite some of the issues that they've had recently, are where they are and are doing what they're doing and are only 2 points off from the top of the Atlantic Division. Now, they were on top of that Atlantic Division a week or so ago, a little more than that before they headed out west. They did have a not-so-great loss to the Sharks. They finish off their road trip tomorrow night against the Islanders, and then they'll be back home on the TD Garden Ice after that. In that time, the Montreal Canadiens have hit the skids. Ottawa, Detroit, and Tampa Bay in particular, playing pretty well and have made up some ground. Tampa Bay is on a 4-game win streak right now. Montreal, 3-4-3 in their last 10. Not great. The Bruins, though, is still managing to go out there and win games. I thought that win over the Kings was a very, very good one, very promising. That's a good Kings team. And Bruins heading out on that West Coast trip, it seemed like maybe this was going to be one of those bad ones that lost to the Ducks. But a win over the Kings, that was an important one. And Morgan Geeky has been tremendous. I mean, he's been tremendous. Him and David Pastrnak, if they keep this up, are going to be considered one of the top goal-scoring tandems in the NHL. And for the last couple of years, Marchand and Pastrnak obviously were two great players, but they weren't really at the top of those lists. You know, they just weren't. Marchand had a couple of years, and Pastrnak obviously is a strong goal scorer. But you could tell even last year it was starting to fade off a little bit. And, you know, part of that may be age. It may have been the situation they were in. It may have been injuries. May have been whatever. But Morgan Geeky stepping up like this and sort of picking up the baton the way he has been incredible. I mean, really, it's been great. It's been great to see. Also from Connor Ryan's piece, Geeky likes to get in the mud. He likes to go on social media and chirp at his haters, which I'm trying to think. Marchand did that a bit. So Geeky is not only filling the void left by Marchand on the ice, but also on social media, which is kind of nice. Geeky says, I still pay attention to that stuff. People think I'm still a pasta merchant, so it is what it is. I know what I can do and the player that I've grown into. I know that I can be a good player in this league. And when people say, oh, he's only good because Pastrnak's good, he's a world-class player and everyone knows that, but it does take a good player to click with a great player.
Nailed it.
It's true. It's true. You can be on a line. How many people were on lines with David Krejci? How many people were on, various lines, certain points, and they just, you know, David Krejci, who had some great years here with the Bruins. There were people on the line when it wasn't the perfection line with Patrice Bergeron and sometimes also with Marchand or with Pastrnak, but they moved those guys around. And there were players who, when they were out there with Bergeron, didn't exactly go supernova on everybody. Like, well, he's playing with Bergeron. He should be able to do that. It's not how it works. It's not how it works. Sometimes, once in a while, you'll have like a role player and they'll really benefit from playing with a certain style of centerman or a certain style of winger, whatever. Every once in a while you see that, I guess, with like a role player who just wouldn't be able to do it with anybody else. But oftentimes, I think Geeky's right here. Oftentimes, you see those guys go on the line with a superstar and they look like they don't belong there. That's why you have four lines, you know? Like, that's why the rosters are set up that way. If they all could just play with Pastrnak, then you'd have them with the, you know, with the fourth liners and then everything should work from there, right? Well, they're playing with Pastrnak. It's not how it works. And Morgan Geeky has established himself as something more than that. And now he's even more than just a guy who plays well with Pastrnak. Now he's a top goal scorer in the NHL on pace with Nathan MacKinnon, on pace for 58 goals. Morgan Geeky. Really a great story. A great story from this season already, and we're still very early on in the process. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The Boston Red Sox made a trade today. Sonny Gray coming to the friendly confines of Fenway Park, where he has not pitched great in his career. We'll get to the specifics of this trade, what they gave up, reaction to it already with your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, now streaming, only on Paramount Plus.